All right. We are going to start a new series tonight that'll run through the rest of the month of November. Because what is like the most well-known holiday in November?
Thanksgiving,
right? Black Friday. No, I'm just kidding. Thanksgiving. And so we talk about Thanksgiving, and some people have been calling it Turkey Day. You guys heard that in the like on the TV before? I've heard them call it Turkey Day. They're kind of making it more about the meal than about what we're supposed to be doing on Thanksgiving. And when we talk about Thanksgiving, we're giving thanks. But who are we giving thanks to? Well, obviously, we would answer it, we should be giving thanks to God. And there's many things that we give thanks to God for. And thanksgiving can be one of the primary motivations for us in how we worship. And so what we're going to study this month, we're going to look at what worship is, and we're going to talk about why we should worship, who we should worship, who, if we're not careful, we'll end up worshiping, and kind of go down this path talking about if we want to give thanks to God truly on that last Thursday this month, we really need to build in us this idea of worshiping God that has impacts the other days of the year too. That when we pray over any meal, not just the one meal, if we pray over any meal, that we're giving thanks to God for that. But there's actually a lot more than just that food, just the house that we have, even more than our family. There's more that we have to give thanks to God for. And when we truly are in gratitude toward God for the things that he has supplied to us, our heart will be drawn to worship. Now, we use this word worship, and I want you to go ahead and open up your Bible to the probably page one or two, okay? Very early in your Bible, we're going to look in the book of Genesis, which means the beginning. We're going to look in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, and we're going to look at why we were created, what God made the people to do. Because if you're in school, okay, let me see real quick, poll, how many of you are homeschooled? Raise your hand high. All right. How many of you go to a private school? How many of you go to a public school? How many of you think that you go to something different? Okay. You're like, no, I go to prison. It's terrible. Okay. So if you go to a public school in particular, you will typically be told other theories of how people came about, how the world came about, okay? And so you are going to hear things like the theory of evolution. You're going to hear things like the Big Bang Theory, not the TV show, okay? But, yeah, funny show, right? But the Big Bang Theory, this idea that basically people think that everything in the universe came from, like, a speck that exploded all over the place. I don't understand, like, where the speck came from, how that works. Doesn't make sense to me. Very silly. And especially since God's word here actually tells us what happened. And so if we want to find out this idea, okay, we're going to talk about we're made to worship, not made as in forced to, but we were created with the intention of worship. And so I want us to look at this first chapter, chapter 1. We're going to read just like five or six verses here, starting in verse 26. So leading up to this, God has created a separation of day and night. He's separated the waters, so like he's created dry land, he's created plants, he's created animals, he's created the stars, the moon, the sun, all of these different things. He's created them in the days leading up to this passage. And in verse 26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them,'" that is mankind, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth, even the caterpillars, guys, even the caterpillars that we were all pretending to be. So, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Thank you. Let there be light. Yes. And God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the heavens, to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. There's a lot of stuff there that God has given to mankind. He's given him life. He's given him ability that is in the image of God. When we talk about images, a lot of times you guys, we think of a picture, right? That's the idea when we think of an image. But this idea of image that he's using gets more at the idea of who God is, his personhood, that he has the ability to relate. And we even saw in the first verse, in verse 26, how many of you know about like first person, second person, third person? You've heard those things before at least in school. Okay, so it's really interesting because we think of how many gods are there? Okay, there's one God. But look in verse 26. Then God, not gods, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What? There's something really weird there going on. You know what it is? All right. You want to share?
All right. So my dad showed me this because I started in the book of Genesis. I want to read through the whole Bible. And he said that if you look at it closely, it says us and me. And he said that that's the Trinity and that they already had everything in plan at the beginning before they created man.
All right. So this is the first instance where we see what is called the Godhead or the Trinity. So God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They all exist at the very beginning. And they have communion together. They have fellowship. They have relationship together all the way at the beginning. And this is one of the things that God does not give to grass. He doesn't give this to frogs. He doesn't give all of these capabilities that he has. Now, God doesn't create more gods in mankind, but he gives mankind ability so that mankind can have a relationship with him, so that we can know our creator. Animals don't know their creator like we're able to know our creator. Trees don't know their creator like we are able to know. We're able to have a relationship with God. God has created us to be able to have this relationship, and he gave them jobs. Did y'all see that in verse 28? He gave them jobs. He tells them, that we kind of always think of, like, don't eat from the tree, right? You guys know that part where God told Adam and Eve, like, don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they end up disobeying that, and there's consequences because sin enters the world. And that's what we think of God commanded Adam and Eve. But there's actually commands there in verse 28, isn't there? It says in here, God blessed them. God said to them, be fruitful. So that's one thing. Multiply. That's another thing. Fill the earth. That's another thing. Subdue it. Okay, that is to put it under your feet, to have control over it, which also gets into the next one. Have dominion over, and then he says the fish, the birds, the animals. So basically, he puts mankind in charge over earth under his authority. And so man has this job to do that God has created him for. Now, if you're wondering, okay, God created man, he created man with the ability to know God, and he created God, man with the ability to do this work, and he tasked him to do it, what does this have to do with worship? Well, let's first work at defining what worship is, okay? This is important because if you get this off, guys, you paying attention up here? Are you on a phone or something? You reading? Okay. So what is worship? Worship can be defined as reverent devotion to God. Okay, reverent meaning like high respect, a great honoring toward God. And so worship is a reverent, a honoring devotion, commitment to God. A choice to honor God in our lives. And then underneath, we see the origin of the word worship. It came from, in English, a really old version of English. There was a word called worth-ship. Okay, so add a TH in there, worth-ship. It meant to indicate the worthiness of one receiving the special honor. And so when we think about who God is, we have to understand God is worthy of great worship. He's worthy of receiving honor from us. He's worthy of us devoting ourselves to him in the way that we function in the world. So we've got to have this as our mindset because this can change what we think of when we hear the word worship. Because a lot of times I think we picture somebody like this. This is supposed to be Abraham, okay? And Abraham built altars to God, and he made sacrifices on the altars. And we think of Abraham, this kind of a guy, he's doing worship. We think of like modern day, we read the Bible, we bow down, we pray, we sing songs. And we think of that is what worship is. Now, does anybody argue and say these things are not worship? No, they are worship. But here's what I want to challenge you in your mindset, is this is not all that is worship. This is not all that is worship. Because Adam and Eve didn't have a Bible. Adam and Eve actually got to walk in the garden with God. They didn't have to bow down. They didn't have to go, dear God. They got to actually walk with God in the garden and be with him. So there is tasking, there's jobs, there's work, there's relationship that we now have often through these things where we sing praises to God, we learn who he is through his word, we pray and have that relationship with him, we bow down in humility. Those things are worship, but they're not all that is worship. And so I want us to look at what is worship. Worship, and how is it that we, if we are made to worship God, how does that work? So our first point tonight is going to be that God created man to worship him. So God already had relationship in the Trinity. We talked about that. So it's not that God is lonely or something, and God's like, oh, I'm all lonely. I need to have someone to be a friend. I'll create people, okay? That's not, God didn't have a need, and the Bible actually talks about this in the book of Acts, that God says, man doesn't serve God as if God needs to be served. It's not that he is somewhat lacking and needs for people to serve him. He's self-sufficient, but God desires to have someone made in his own image, which is who we are. We're made, this phrase is called the Imago Dei. We've talked about this before. It means image of God. You and I are made in the image of God. And so we have this ability to worship God that is special and distinct from all the rest of creation. We have the ability to understand, if I tell everyone, stand up. All right, stand up. Everybody stand up. All All right, some of you guys are better at this than others, all right? Yeah, we're not playing Simon Says. It was not a trick question or anything. All right, so you have the ability to understand what I just said. If I had put it up on the screen and you have read that, you had the ability to be able to understand that and then to exercise obedience. All right, now you can sit down. See, that one you didn't really have to exercise obedience as much as laziness, right? That's what we just kind of default to. We're like, oh, good, okay, I'm done with that. So here's the thing, though. We have the ability, because we're made in God's image, to learn to be obedient. Adam and Eve had these tasks to be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over all the animals, and do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which is over in chapter 2. They had these things, and their option to worship was to obey God's word. They worshiped God. They had so much freedom. They could do whatever they wanted to, as long as it was in obedience to those things. If they wanted to make a slip and slide into the rivers that were by the garden, they could make a slip and slide. They could do, you know, if they wanted to eat strawberries for a month straight, guess what? There was no sin in the world, and I don't think that they would have gotten a tummy ache from it. They could have eaten strawberries as long as they possibly wanted to. I mean, they could do whatever they want, as long as it was within the confines of what God had given them. And God gives these commands actually for their benefit and for his glory. Now, this word glory is something that we need to also understand a little bit. Because God, he's worthy of worship, which is what we've just talked about, that worship is showing the honor that someone is due, that they're worthy of. God's worthy of that worship. And so as we show that value to him, as we honor him, as we show respect to him, as we value him with our obedience, it shows how great he truly is. God's greater than the things that I want. God's greater than what I would prefer to have. Sometimes I'm like, ooh, that seems like such a good thing that I really want. But God has said not to do that. And so in that moment, I have the option, do I obey God and show that I trust him, that he's good, that he loves me, and that he knows what's best? Or do I set myself up as God and say, I know what's best, better than what God knows? I want this thing more than God. And that's where we fall into disobedience. And that's where sin entered the world with Adam and Eve, was that they desired something else over worshiping God. They desired something else over their obedience to what his commands were. And so they fell into the temptation that was there before them. But they could have fallen into any of these temptations. They could have fallen into a temptation not to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. That was a temptation that they could have had. No, I don't think we want to do that. I think we want to stay right here. This garden's really comfortable. It was a nice garden. But God had tasked them with doing this job, and it was global in scope, huge. But they fell into the temptation. They honored something else over God, and sin entered the world. And so now our imago Dei, our image of God, is broken in us. We don't perfectly reflect into the world who he is. Instead, we show the world a distorted image, kind of like one of those mirrors that makes your head look enormous and your body itty-bitty tiny, you know, where you're like, what? That distorts the image. Or if you've ever looked through a really old glass pane, anybody been to like some like Western town or something like that, where you can see it, the glass has been worn away by erosion? If you look through that, it distorts everything that's behind it, because the glass is no longer perfectly flat. It's had distortions put into it. It has fallen short of being perfectly, not made, but it has fallen into a brokenness of sorts. And that's how we are in the world, that you and I no longer perfectly reflect who God is to each other and to the rest of creation. We have sin in us, which means that we don't act perfectly like God would have us to. Instead, we follow our own desires. Because here's the truth, okay? Everyone worships something or someone. Because we're made with a desire to worship. God built that into who we are. And so the thing is that we can take what is rightfully God's worship and we can give that to something else. You and I will, instead of worshiping God, we will worship something else. It may be one of these things that they had there, that we'll worship the being fruitful and multiplying, or the having dominion over the earth. We're like, yeah, that sounds awesome. I could have a kingdom. All right. And set myself up as being the one that all the glory goes to instead of to God. We can fall into all kinds of things. And as I thought through this, I thought of a couple of different things. One of you, them is video games, right? Video games, for sure, can be something we worship. It gets high honor. It is what we spend our time, energy, attention, everything. Then I put a VSCO girl up there because, you know, you got to have the ones that you care for, right? And that may be a friend. It may be a girlfriend. It may be a boyfriend. It may just be, I mean, it could be anyone, right? We can value people over God. That we have a closer relationship oftentimes with someone else rather than with God. So we're all designed to worship, and everyone worships something or someone. It could be, yesterday was election day. It wasn't a real big election. I showed up at the poll yesterday, and they were like, you don't actually get to vote because you don't live in the city, and there's no one to vote for. Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. So I showed up. I was like kind of happy about the things, but I didn't even get to vote. But some people, man, their whole like social media and what they're all about and everything can be about politics.
Why? I hate politics.
Okay, but here's the thing. Politics is about things that people really care about. So if you guys remember when we did all of the finances thing in here with the Game of Life and we had the taxes that you had to pay, and some of y'all were like, I make $100,000 a year, yeah. And then I said, you get taxed 42%. And you were like, that's terrible, okay? So politics has to do with partially how you get taxed, how much you get taxed, what that tax goes to pay for, all kinds of things like that. And so people can set all of their attention, all of their energy and their focus and, man, their whole identity is wrapped up in who's going to win the next election. I have people in my family that if you go and look at their Facebook page, which I know y'all don't care about Facebook. Facebook's for adults. But their Facebook page is all about politics. Everything is about politics. So that's something. Another thing down here, I've got the coexist. Hey, Noah, Taylor, would you mind sitting right back there for me? Appreciate it.
Where?
Right next to Ansley. So the coexist I've got up there because it represents multiple other religions, okay, multiple other ideologies and thoughts about how the world works. And people can give themselves to any of those ideas, but also to this idea that everybody should just get along, and we can all believe in things that don't work together at all and think that everyone's right. What? Like, the light cannot be red and green and purple and blue all at the same time. It's one of those colors. Otherwise, it's multiple lights. Like, it can't be all of those things at the same time. Jesus can't be the only way, the truth, the life, and Buddha, and Muhammad, and the list goes on and on and on. What? Okay, so people get caught up in these other things, and they worship them. But it could be any number of things. We could fill in the blank. Your phone can be something that really, you worship it. You think you can't live without it. I know people who don't go on certain youth trips because they don't want to go without their phone. That is ridiculous. That's ridiculous. So, we can worship all kinds of things. It's not that we bow down to all of these things. It's not that we pray to all of these things. No. But that's not what we're saying. Remember, what we're saying with worship is that it is showing a special reverence and honor and value to something. And that's what we tend to do in our lives. We all are designed to worship God, but because of sin, we often instead direct that worship to something else. We worship something other than God. And so we've got to recognize that is sin in our life. We've got to identify what it is that you're tempted to worship. Because, you know, like Ansley just said, I don't care about politics at all, okay? And that's fine. You're not really at the age where you have to be real concerned about that. But here's the thing. Other people do struggle with that. So, but listen, for a lot of our adults back here, Fortnite is not a temptation to worship at all. Miss Jane, I know that's something that you're working on in your life. You know, Miss Jane stayed on the entire time Fortnite was down and waited on the new chapter to come out. No. But listen, this demonstrates my point. Miss Jane is probably a little more concerned about the politics than about the video games. Miss Jane's probably more concerned about her relationships than video games, okay? My point is this. All of us have things that we tend to want to worship in our lives, and they're not always going to be the same things. And they're probably going to change throughout your life. So some of y'all don't care about dating at all right now. And some of y'all are like 1,000% invested into a relationship that's going to last another month. Okay? I'm not looking at anybody. No. Yeah. Yikes. No, here's the reality, okay? Hey, guys, bring it in. So here is the thing. That may be a temptation now. It may not be a temptation now. Your phone may be a temptation now. You may not have a phone, so it's not a temptation now. But guess what? In 10 years, there's going to be something that has this draw on your time, your attention, your money, your affections. There's going to be things throughout your life that you are drawn to worship. Because we're designed to worship, but sin has caused us to worship things other than God. And on our own, we are unable, because of sin, to worship God rightly. And this is why Jesus had to come and die on the cross. This is why he had to be raised from the dead. This is why he had to come and live a perfect life so he could be a perfect sacrifice for us. It's because without him coming and being a perfect sacrifice, we are left in our sin. We're unable to fulfill the purpose God created man to do, and that is to worship him. Because of sin, we're broken. And Jesus has come not just to fix us, but to make us new. To make us able to have that relationship with God that we desire for, that we long for, that we seek out purpose in so many things in life. We try to worship other things, but ultimately we're built and designed to worship God. So here is another point that I want you to see as we kind of wrap up tonight. God is worthy of our worship because he is our creator. Inherently in what our relationship is with God, whether you are a Christian or not at this moment in your life, God still created mankind, and you are here because he created Adam and Eve and set everything in purpose to come about after that. He's worthy of your worship just by fact that he is the creator of everything. If God desired to take all of the oxygen out of our planet for some reason, which is not in his character, he's unchanging, so he won't do that, and we know that. But if God were not to continue to sustain us, none of us would be here. God is worthy of worship because he is the creator. He is the one who designed the earth. He is the one who made everything. If you read through Genesis 1, you see everything God makes. He says, it was good. It was good. It was good. All the way down to the point where he gets to mankind and he says, this is very good. God made us and he saw in us his image being displayed on the earth. Rightly, without sin, and he goes, this is very good. And so we see that we are designed to be able to worship. We tend to worship other things, but God is worthy of our worship because he is our creator. As I was thinking about this, I kind of thought of a kind of a silly way to illustrate this, but how many of you have ever seen the really old Frankenstein movies? Anybody ever seen those before? Okay. How many of you have ever read the book Frankenstein? Solid. Okay. So here is the basic premise. You have Dr. Frankenstein, which is not this guy, okay? This guy is not Dr. Frankenstein. So if you think that's Frankenstein, it ain't, okay? That's not it. So Frankenstein is actually, let me see. Yeah, these guys. It's one of those. I think it's this guy. So he is the one who creates, let me use that, Frankenstein's monster, which is this guy, okay? And so Frankenstein's monster is a combination of multiple people's bodies that he has like sewn together. So it's like early science fiction. He sews together all these different body parts and then electrifies him, which is why he's got this little thing like here, is so he can pump the electricity into him and bring this thing to life. And to start out, the monster is obedient. To start out, it does what it's supposed to. So it learns to walk, and he, you know, like this. And he walks around, and then he says, back up. And he backs up, and he tells him to lay down. He lays down, and then he keeps working on. Well, somewhere along the way, Frankenstein's monster goes haywire. And it was because they didn't have color back then. They didn't have HD back then. There was a time before. No. Hulu didn't exist when I was a baby, okay? So Hulu was mispronouncing a hoop, okay, when I was growing up. So here's the thing. Frankenstein makes his monster, and he's trying to accomplish a purpose. The monster does what he's told to do until he decides he wants to do something different. And he goes haywire, and the whole rest of the story is about like having to deal with this monster that won't listen, that won't do what he's supposed to do. You guys, this is how we function. We're created to be able to bring glory to God, but instead, we go haywire. We do our own thing. We follow after the things that seem good to us instead. And so we are designed to worship. We tend to worship other things, but God is worthy of the worship. He's worthy of our obedience. He's worthy of our reverence, of our respect, of our honor, all those things. So I want you to consider, what are the things in your life that you tend to worship rather than God? What are the things that are getting your attention? Maybe right now, maybe later. What are the things that your mind is always thinking about? What are the things that you spend the most time on? What are the things that you think, if I don't have this, I'm going to perish, okay? What are those things that you have such a high value that it detracts from your ability to worship God rightly? Now, if you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never given your life to Him and received the gift of forgiveness and salvation that's available through trusting in the work of Christ on the cross and His resurrection, that's the first thing. That's the first thing. It's not that you can just start obeying and being good enough to please God, that, oh, well, I went haywire, but now I'm good. That's not the story. That's not the story. Because while we may look like that, super dead, looking gross, God desires to make us a new person. And actually what we see is in the Bible, it talks about how we are known as Christians, which means that the term originally came from an idea that they were mini Christs, that they were people that lived their life just like Christ did, that they followed the same teachings of Jesus. They lived their lives out caring for people just like Jesus. They taught others the story of Jesus. Man, running into a Christian was like as close as you could get to running into Jesus. He desires for the image of Christ to be shown in us, to the world. And that doesn't happen by you just becoming a better person. It happens by surrendering your life to the Lord, by trusting in Him and following Him with your life. That's what we talked about at Fall Retreat, is being a true follower of Christ. So if you've never made that decision to give your life to the Lord, I want to encourage you to come and talk with me. Grab one of our leaders and say, hey, I need to talk to somebody about how to become a follower of Christ, how to have God make me new. But I know several of you have made that decision before in your life. And maybe you recognize, as I've been talking, that there's some things in your life that are becoming things that you're worshiping, or idols of sorts. I want you to consider, as I pray in just a minute, I want you to just pray to the Lord and say, God, I recognize this is an idol in my life. This is something that I worship, that I give great honor and value to above you. and I'm giving that to you. I'm going to trust you with it. I'm going to honor you above everything else. It's not just something that you just pray the one time. It's something that we constantly have to be surrendering back to the Lord, trusting in him, laying down the things that are vying for our attention. So if that's you, if you recognize that there's something in your life that you've been worshiping over God, I want to challenge you as I pray to just talk with the Lord about that, and then I'll dismiss us tonight. God, I thank you for this passage and just getting to see that you made us in your image to be like you here on earth as a representative to the world, and that although sin has wrecked us and distorted that image, that you have sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to pay the punishment that we deserve, to be able to make us new so that we can show who you are in the world, that you would receive the worship that you are worthy of. God, as we worship, sometimes we worship other things. Sometimes we do not worship you truly, reverently, in a devoted way. Sometimes we just sing the songs and we just go about our day and don't really pay attention to the fact that we have opportunities to give you glory through our obedience, through the ways that we talk to each other, the way that we act, as well as those things like praying and reading our Bible. God, help us to identify the things that we worship. Help us to surrender those things to you and to worship you above anything else in our life. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.